The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number three of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. You can follow me on Twitter, Beating the Book, Kelly at Kelly Bidlin.
Sure.
Sure. Still to come this hour, Paul Carr on the World Cup. He's got plays. Quadruple header, which does not start now like it did yesterday. Starts 3 hours from now. So we have a midnight Eastern game today. Is that true?
I believe so.
Midnight Eastern.
Reset the odds board yesterday. Let me check this out. Yep, 9 o'clock Pacific time.
That checks out. Midnight Eastern. By the way, great Philip Bailey, Barry Gibb question from Kevin Downs earlier. Philip Bailey, greatest falsetto ever.
I've never had the World Cup as the first tab on my odds screen before. It's a first.
We get tweets speed of the book. Joe C. 714, a buddy Joe C. said there's a street called Tillicum in Tacoma, Washington.
Okay.
Todd. Oh, I love this, Todd. Canarsie Born 65. In space is one of many new phrases that irritate get off my lawn guys like me. He said, eye discipline.
That's a good one. Yep. That's a good one.
Gap integrity.
Uh-huh.
Oh, in the NFL and college football, gap integrity on the line.
I feel like that's just more of a football term.
Oh, this one drives me
crazy.
Like
gap integrity. Danny, you can chime my ear. I feel like I heard that more in football practice than I've actually ever heard like during a game.
Oh no, Todd's right. I've heard it during games. Gap integrity. Here's one that drives me crazy that Canarsie Board 65 points out. He says high pointing the ball. Oh, I can't stand that. The NFL, that receiver high points the ball. Stop it. Downhill runner, which is cousin to puts his foot in the ground. Where else is he going to put his foot? And then score the ball. Oh, gee. And he says geez at the end of his Twitter, at the end of his tweet.
Were these all from the same guy?
Yeah, all from Todd. Score the ball drives me crazy. You know who I blame for that one? Jay Billis. Talking to you, Jay Billis. Score the ball.
You know what? I don't mind it. It's just
people run with it.
It's not Jay Billis's fault that other people brought it to other sports.
You're right about that. Bruce Dobig, don't despair getting names right in Toronto. They just translated Coxwell to a new street named Mdablimock Avenue, which means where the road goes to the water. Don't worry, none of us can say it either. And then PAW, buttressing what I was saying about how, again, the whole American League Cy Young conversation was, I just don't think there's anybody to compete with Cam Schlittler at this point. And PAW says Tango's AL top five. Schlittler 43.1. All the way down to Davis Martin of the White Sox at 34.95. Jose Seriano of the Angels at 33.7. Messick and Williams, two Guardians, 30.3 and 30. So, yeah, Tango's numbers are a great numerical reflection of what I was just talking about. It's Schlittler, and then you're trying to wedge in a case for anybody else. Nobody yet, but it's June. How about American League? By the way, PAW says, good call. Get him now at a plus price.
Yeah, JVT wants to weigh into it. He wants to play from home.
Okay.
North-South point guard.
North-South point guard.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
And a big who plays above the rim.
Oh, but you got to
play. That's a good one, too.
A big who plays above
the
rim.
The guy who plays above the rim. That's a good one.
Yeah. There's tons of them in football. Football season, we do a whole bunch of them. But nothing's worse than in space. One day, somebody said it, and then 50 others do.
North-South point guard. See, I first think that. I think North-South runner. I think football.
Right. That's right. I do, too.
See, that's maybe the opposite of the Jay Billis. I think that was a football one that JVT's bringing over to basketball.
And then the opposite of that
Ben
is
brought over.
What I was saying is, like a term when I was a kid, give and go in basketball. Nobody says that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
There's no more give and goes.
It's fascinating.
We'll have a whole list. By the way, National League MVP, it's Shohei minus 1,600. I don't want to get into it. But American League MVP, I do, because, Kelly, I can't understand why Yordan Alvarez isn't at a higher price. I need to bet this today.
Wow. Okay.
There's only one other guy. To me, it's a two-headed monster between Yordan Alvarez and Nick Kurtz of the Athletics.
Hmm.
But if you look at the standard triple crown numbers, your baseball card triple crown numbers, remember? Carl Yastrzemski did it in 1967 for the Boston Red Sox. We didn't have another until Miggy Cabrera did it with the Detroit Tigers in 2012. Or was it 2013, I believe. One of those 2 years. And it's leading your league, AL or NL, in home runs, RBIs, and batting average. Yordan Alvarez, number one in home runs, 24. Byron Buxton has 23. Munetaka Murakami has 20. Ben Rice, 19. Nick Kurtz, 18. But Yordan is first in home runs.
Okay. 2012 was the year for Miggy.
Thank you. RBI. Kurtz, 57. Yordan, 54. He's second.
Mm-hmm.
Average. Batting average. Yordan first, 328. Yandy Diaz, 314. Bobby Witt at 284. So Yordan in the Triple Crown categories is 1-2-1.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Hits, by the way, if you just want it extended to hits, Yordan number one, 87. Ernie Clement's next with 84. Witt's got 82. And then if you wanted to do slash lines, we already talked about batting average. He's number one. OBP. Kurtz, 443. Yordan, 434. He's second in that. Slugging percentage, Yordan is first, 653. Followed by Rice and Buxton, distant second and third. So in the slash line, he's 1-2-1. Triple Crown, 1-2-1. Slash line, 1-2-1. How is Yordan only plus 110? And the only other person that you can make a case for, in my opinion, is Kurtz of the Athletics at 4-1. How Bobby Witt Jr. is 3-1, I have no idea. Just give me your money if you're betting on Bobby Witt Jr. This is not even Bobby Witt Jr.'s best season. I don't get it. The rub, of course, is this. Yordan plays for the Astros who, this just in, Kelly, suck. 11th, I think, best out of 15 teams in the American League. By the way, Bobby Witt Jr. plays for an even worse team. Again, another reason why I have no idea why anybody would bet on Bobby Witt Jr.
What am I missing
the
here?
The issue with Nick Kurtz, though, is that the Athletics are in it to win it in the AL West, a half game behind the Mariners, I believe, at this point. Half game ahead or half game behind? I think a half game behind the Mariners. So that's the biggest case for Kurtz is, well, this team might actually win a division or go to the playoffs. You can't say that about the Astros. But in terms of just individual stats, mm-hmm. Yordan Alvarez is absolutely the favorite here. I can't believe he's not minus money and kind of non-negligible minus money as well. So to me, it's Schlittler, it's Alvarez, and shout out again to Matt Youmans, Will Hill, everybody who has Schlittler at ridiculous numbers for AL Cy.
What?
Long season, it's still June, I get it, but looking at these markets right now, to me, it's those two guys, Schlittler and Alvarez. And I'm shocked that their prices aren't worse. What are you going to say?
Yeah, I don't know what I'm missing here either. I'm Bobby Witt Jr.
I do not get the Bobby Witt Jr. thing. It's just like, hey, Judge is out, so we got to keep Witt Jr. up there somewhere.
Actually, I don't even want to put it that way. I think your bigger point's the bigger one. Like, there should be more distance between Yordan and everybody else.
Yeah, I believe that. But again, the records of the team, if you believe that matters, and some years it doesn't matter. But if you believe that that will be the difference maker, then I get why you would sort of sway over to Kurtz. Want to go country clubbing?
What about, in a sec, what about Ben Rice? You didn't mention him the whole time, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, Ben Rice, listen, if you're Will Hill, you got him at a great price, triple digits, Mazel Tov. I just don't think his resume adds up to those two guys.
And not worth a bet at that price.
Not to me.
Yeah.
Yankees, obviously, in the driver's seat in the AL East, but Alvarez is just too good. And Kurtz also. Ben Rice, I'll say it, Will Hill. You know, if Will Hill's listening right now, I know what he's saying in his head. He's going, just add it to the pile. Great bets.
Just add it to the pile.
That might not get home. Yeah. All right, let's go country clubbing. Yeah. Ben Wilson's family. Having fun. On the screen once again. I think that's his grandfather on the left there.
Great uncle. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. U.S. Open. You haven't had a chance to really chime in.
J.M. Wilson.
J.M. Wilson.
He's initials. He definitely just goes by initials.
By the way, tennis, Dion Parry did win for us. So we lost on Kessler. We won on Parry. Rinderknecht on serve here going to a tiebreaker in the first set. U.S. Open. Shinnecock Hills Golf Club, sir. What do you got?
Distracted by the MVP thing.
I can tell that you're very distracted.
No. I guess my next question on that was going to be the losing team thing.
You really don't want to do this golf.
No, I do. You actually just got me more wrapped up in MVP than I thought I was going to be.
No,
and it's not expected to be that fascinating.
No, but I agree with you because the bet is there in front of us.
Yes, I agree. think I'm going to be in there. Okay, Shinnecock, let's go. 156 players. You don't see fields like this anymore in the PGA Tour because you are going to have all kinds of amateurs and all the great stories that you get at the U.S. Open with guys with a chance to make a name for themselves, like Tin Cup. You're going to get all those stories, and then top 60, you're going to make the cut. And we're going to move on with the big boys. This is a par 70. This is a massive golf course. Lots of room here, 7,400 yards. Distance, we're going to go through all the stats. Par 70, though, so you're without two par fives, two scoreable holes. This is going to be one of the biggest points you're going to hear brought up all week. Wide fairways and wider than we got in 2018. This course did get to a place in 2018, both off of the tee and on the greens, where a lot of the golfers were calling it unplayable. Far from unfair, Gil, just unplayable is where we got to a point in 2018 where golfers were breaking down and saying that. So
was that the year Mickelson?
Yeah, I was hitting the moving putt. Yeah, he was done. He was done at that point. Yeah. So the USGA has made it pretty clear that they are going to rein things in this year. This is not going to be as bad as 2018.
Please don't. I want to see it bad.
But like, Gil, it's this. You're going to hear this is a links-ish style golf course. This is kind of like the Renaissance Club that we get over in the Scottish Open. A little bit of a mix of both looks, where it does looks linksier because it's right near the water and there's no trees. You're not going to see any trees on the property. It's all wide open, and you get this long fescue rough. 48-yard wide fairways. Wide, generous fairways, but if you go any wider than that, you're in hell. 5 to 8 inch fescue rough, way too, no real water on the course that they're going to have to play in. A ton of bunkers, though, 160, and again, watch the wind. If you are going to make bets, check out the weather because it is rapidly changing here.
All right, Sandman sweeping you off. We'll do more of this later.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Paul Carr, World Cup next on A Numbers Game. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
I like when Jonathan Von Tobel plays along with our bits, JVT and Stormy.
Appreciate it, JVT.
On Money Moves here, weekdays, Monday through Friday, an hour after we're on, prop points in between.
Actually, I think he's on vacation.
Oh, maybe he's on vacation.
He wasn't here yesterday. Dustin was here yesterday.
Yeah, you know, these kids with their
JVT
vacations.
JVT listening from home. Thank you.
Splash Sports. High stakes U.S. Open challenge is live. $500 to enter for a shot at $100,000 guaranteed. Here's how it works. Pick six golfers for the U.S. Open this week, one from each of six tiers. They will come up with the tiers themselves. You'll pick one from each of the six tiers. Then your top five scores count, Kelly. Your worst golfer gets dropped. You get one throw out. Then the lowest score wins. So it's all about finding value across the board of those tiers, not just stacking the favorites. Multiple entries are allowed, so build a few different lineups and increase your shot at that $100,000 prize. Right now, new players using promo code VSIN get a 50% deposit match up to $100, a free quick picks entry up to $20, and a 100% quick picks payout boost on an entry up to $20. Sign up now at splashsports.com and use code VSIN. 21 and over, must be present in select states. See site for full rules and details, or details, however you like to pronounce it. You going to be in it? You haven't decided yet? Still not?
Yeah, not sure.
Not sure.
Would love to. Would love to.
It's tough in Nevada. It's tough in Nevada.
It is. It is easy to be completely truthful about that one. Would love to. Would be a part of it in a heartbeat if it was anywhere else.
We had tweets. I just want to read a couple here because people seem to like this. Trip Tepper. Seems like pad level has become a TV broadcast cliche for NFL and college football games. That one, though, you know, Trip, as we were talking about these, Danny Higgins, who has been on desk with me before, producer of the show, has played professional football in Denmark, was it? Denmark?
Yes.
Yes. So he's screaming in our ear. He's like, some of these are actual football terms, though. So he's very upset by some of these, like, bad level. Burke at Mighty Trojan says, the sports betting guest equivalent of the annoying catchphrase is, in terms of. You won't be able to unhear it now. You're welcome. Guests say that a lot. They're like, well, in terms of.
I don't know. Everybody's got their things. They say too much. Super Jerk lets me know.
I'm not at Sean's Fox Plays. I don't think I can read that one.
Keep it clean, Sean.
Keep it clean, Sean.
I didn't even look at it. Gil just gave me a smirk, though. I guess I should.
I'll show it to you later. Thanks for trying to slip that one past those Sean's Fox plays, trying to get me in trouble. During the Yordan Alvarez praise that I was giving for the MVP market, and that I think it's a play on bet, if not him, Nick Kurtz, I said, I don't understand why anybody would bet on Bobby Witt Jr. And Paul Carr happens to be our next guest. He is a very big Kansas City Royals fan and may have himself a Bobby Witt Jr. MVP bet. He joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, to talk World Cup, but apparently he's got a bone to pick with me. What do you got?
Well, or Gil, I have Bobby Witt right here, bobblehead. He's not happy with you either. So the case for Bobby Witt is basically, obviously he's a really good hitter, top five-ish hitter. His offense has not been quite what Yordan is this year, but he's probably the best defender in baseball, or very close to it this year.
Granted.
And one of the best base runners. He's lead the league in stolen bases, just put it simply. So that's the case, is that, sure, Yordan's having a better hitting season. I'm not going to argue that. But you factor in those other things, and Bobby is more viable as a baseball player. So that's the case for him.
Wow. I can't wait to interview the MVP voters who vote for him and go, he's the best base runner in baseball. That's why I voted for him.
Chicks dig the long ball, not the guy who works hard.
The base running. No, all of that is true. I'm not saying he's a bad player. I'm just saying don't think I'd bet him now, especially at that price. He's not close to these guys. But that's the case. There's the case from Paul Carr. We accept the case. Paul, I'll ask you what I asked of Drew Densick earlier. Is this world, is it just this easy? Just bet draws this easy?
Man, I will say the prices, especially, I mean, today's a little bit of an exception because we got a lot of favorites going, but the prices today on the draws are all north of plus 300. And anytime you get 300 or more for me, that is very tempting. So, you want to sprinkle on like almost any draw today. I don't hate it. I think broadly the gap is probably smaller between, almost any of these teams than general perception is. Maybe that skews the market a little bit. But yeah, these draw prices are pretty juicy. And yesterday obviously was a nice one if you played all those.
Yeah, I'm going to start with game one. If that works out, I'm going to go to game three and game four if they all keep working out. Norway, Iraq, different story.
I don't hate the draw in any of these games today. I think Senegal is a solid second-tier team. Not shocking if they draw France. Algeria, I think, is feistier than most. So they come out and pull off a point against Argentina, sure. Jordan, I won't say I've been grinding Jordan tape or anything like that. They're one of the least known teams at the tournament, but Austria is a very high risk, high reward style. So if they salvage a goal and sneak something out, it wouldn't be stunning either.
Norway, Iraq, you would even take a flyer on that one on the draw?
That one's the toughest one. It's obviously the longest odds. That's probably the one. I would put that fourth on my power rankings of I'd like to play this draw today.
That tracks. As the kids say, that tracks. All right, what did you bet today? What do you like?
All right, what do I have today? I have under 2.5 in France-Senegal, minus 105. This one's a little one of those throw-up-in-your-mouth plays because both these teams have lots of offensive weapons. France is loaded, Mbappe, Olise, et cetera. Senegal has Sadio Mane, used to play for Liverpool. He's older, but they still are really fast on the counterattack. But both these teams are also pretty solid defensively. France, under their head coach, I think I've mentioned, is kind of defense first on the whole, even though they have all those attackers. So I could see them being conservative here. Senegal gave up kept 8 clean sheets and 10 qualifiers. So they're pretty solid veteran team defensively. They'll know how to handle the different wrinkles that France will throw at them. So I think this could be kind of a, early feel them out type of thing under 2.5. So you're getting, obviously 1-0, 2-0 either way, and 0-0, 1-1 on the draws. I like that at minus 105.
Okay, well that checks out for draw players as well, under 2.5 goals in that one. Let's talk about, let's skip Norway and Iraq because you don't have a play in that one, but let's go to Colombia and Uzbekistan.
This is Wednesday. Uzbekistan, another one of the very unknown teams in this tournament, just from a general, even just soccer knowledge. They have one guy who plays for Man City. That's about it from a top European league standpoint. I think Colombia is one of the dark horses I mentioned a few times. Tons of offensive weapons. I think they will come out and try to prove that here today. And Uzbekistan is just, it's a level up from where they've been. They have kind of slowly been on the rise. They've done really well in a lot of youth tournaments the last few years. But this is a different animal at the World Cup, and you're facing, again, a Colombia team that will attack you from all directions with Luis Diaz from Bayern and several other guys. So I like Colombia. I'll lay the goal and a half, getting plus money at 115 for me.
Okay. So today, France, Senegal, under 2.5 goals, the first of the four games today. Tomorrow, Colombia, minus 1.5 goals versus Uzbekistan. And then Thursday, let's project forward, Canada and Qatar. Both teams tied. Both teams drew in their first game. Qatar in unbelievable fashion in the 94th minute.
Yep. Yeah, both these teams got relatively late goals to tie. So now we're obviously into the second set of games. So you're trying to think through motivations as well as you've seen these teams on the field and have a little better sense of what they're going to do at the tournament. And you mentioned Qatar did very little. They had six shots the whole game, 0.6 expected goals. They just didn't do a lot. And that's kind of what was expected of them after no points 4 years ago. Just a new program to the international stage, really. Canada didn't do a ton either, only 13 shots, 1.2 expected goals, but they did get their one late. And that's even though they were chasing the game most of the time because they gave up a 21st minute goal to Bosnia Herzegovina. So I'm not sure either team has a ton of attack. They're both defense first teams, try to hit you on the counter. So I think that's how they'll approach this game from a defensive standpoint, try to steal a win. Because we're at the point, if you get 4 points in the group, you're almost guaranteed to go through.
Yeah.
And you might be guaranteed to go through by the time some of these teams play their second game. So if you're either one of these teams, you'd love to get a win here and essentially seal your fate in a good way and ease up the pressure on that last game. So, but I don't think either team here is going to just rip things open and go for a win. They'd rather try to defend first, try to steal a 1-0 win for either one. So under 2.5, that's a long way of saying is what I'm playing here at plus 110.
There you go. France, Senegal, under 2.5 goals today from Paul. Colombia, minus 1.5 versus Uzbekistan tomorrow. And then Canada, Qatar, under 2.5 goals on Thursday at plus 110. Paul, I will conclude with you the same way I did with Drew, give you a crack at this question, which is simply after the USA beat Paraguay 4-1, it has started. Soccer fever is now here in the United States. Did that performance, you said famously, round of 16 is par. Does that performance by itself alter that for you?
A little bit. It so much depends on the draw because, you know, yes, they win the group. They're going to play almost certainly a worse team in the round of 32. You got to win that. You get the round of 16, you're going to run into like, you know, an Argentina type where you're just not the better team. So I guess it just kind of raises the ceiling a little bit because if they can play like that, you can hang with just about anybody. And so, yeah, is it making a semifinal run off the table? Like, it's not. I don't know that it ever was, but it just feels a little bit more realistic. But so much is just dependent on what can you do, or rather, who you run into in that round of 16. And it's probably going to be a better team. So I don't know that it changes it, but I guess it probably does a little bit. Like, if they get to the round of 16 and lose, you might feel a little disappointed. But it so much depends on what team you might lose to.
Yeah. I like the way you put it, though. Par is round of 16, and then we can all work from there. We'll see, but this country is now soccer crazed. That's all it took.
It's fun.
And here we go. Should be a fun summer. Paul, thank you so much.
You bet.
Paul Carr, kind enough to join us even after the Bobby Witt Jr. slander.
Right.
Very nice of him. More from Kelly on the U.S. Open next on A Numbers Game.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Football season may still be months away, but the best bettors are already preparing for it. Next week, VSiN releases its NFL betting guide 6 days away, packed with everything you need to attack futures, win totals, division races in the upcoming season. Lock in early bird pricing on our football special for just $175 and be among the first to get the guide when it drops next week. The sooner you sign up, the more value you get. With full access to everything we do across every sport through the Super Bowl, that includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and more. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Tweets at Beating the Book. Cookie better, 725. The one that gets me is, I'm taking a look at. Are you looking or are you betting it? That's true. Some guests are always like, I'm taking a look at this one. What are you doing? Are you betting it or not?
Prepare for a lot of that in this golf segment.
Uh-oh, super jerk.
I think I'm considering.
Okay. Super jerk has chimed in. Here, how about this one? Attack the game. You mean the way you're going to bet it? Drive me up a wall, bums. Attack the
He's
game?
Got a couple. He's got one? He's got a couple. I've heard multiple of these from Super Jerk over the years, so he could write the book on this.
Johnny Brock, did I hear correctly on Beating the Book? My podcast? That Will Hill won 64K on a four-way draw parlay yesterday? First of all, I didn't do a podcast. Does he mean this show? We didn't talk about it on this show either. I don't know. Have to ask Will. Couple
good
things.
For Will if he did.
Good for Will if he did. A couple things. By the way, it should be pointed out also, if you do too much of a parlay on draws, like let's say you parlayed all four of those yesterday,
mm-hmm.
your odds at a legalized sportsbook will be so great that they will tax you on it immediately. Another anti-parlay mm-hmm. commentary. A couple sports updates. One, Serena Williams, who made her doubles debut after retirement, coming out of retirement, made her doubles debut with Victoria Imboko last week at the HSBC Championships, otherwise known as the Queens Club, where the brick building is right on top of the tennis courts. They won that doubles match, but then Imboko got hurt. Imboko's out of Wimbledon, by the way. So that was the end of Serena's doubles run, one and done last week. She is now partnered up with the great Karolina Muchova at the Grass Court Championships in Berlin, and they lost the first set, Muchova and Serena did, to Ratliff and Olmos. You know them, Kelly.
Hi, Wimbledon. I'm here to play tennis.
Double specialists.
What's your name? I'm on the doubles side.
You have one of the best tennis players in the world, and then Serena, the greatest of all time. They lose the first set to Ratliff and Olmos. All right.
How much doubles tennis do you play?
Played a little in D.C. It is very awkward.
I was just going to say, it's so weird to me.
It is very weird because you serve it
in the back of your head every time.
Well, you don't know. It's that. You don't know where to stand exactly. You can't, like, cheat on the line.
Yeah, there is, yeah.
And then some balls, you're like, was that mine? Should I have gotten that one? You know, there's a little bit of that. So, you know, some people are super expert at it, though. The other thing is we have hockey breaking news. This has no real betting implication. So not like the first thing we would come up with, but for hockey fans and certainly for Vegas Golden Knights fans, this is interesting. John Tortorella, who came in with 8 games left in the regular season and led the Vegas Golden Knights from near elimination before the playoffs even started to within 2 games of the Stanley Cup title, John Tortorella will not return to the Vegas Golden Knights coaching staff following the 2025-26 season. GM Kelly McCrimmon announced. Tortorella took over Vegas in late March, led the team to the Stanley Cup final before falling to Carolina 4-2. There it is.
Not good enough, John. Needed a couple more wins there.
That's incredible, man.
Yeah, it is.
Not that it's like, you know, it wasn't a done. No one thought it was 100% chance that he would come back to the team. That's for sure. But even now hearing it, it's like, wow.
I also wonder, like, is that something they talked about when he was brought in?
Yeah, right. Very well could have been.
But even if that happens, right, you go on a run like that, everybody's just writing his name in.
Yeah. I'm sure Stormy will have more of that when Money Moves comes on later on the show. But yeah, 7-0-1 Vegas was to complete the regular season with Torts at the helm, if you will. And then in the playoffs, what were they? They won the first series against Utah 4-2. Then they beat Anaheim 4-2. So what's that? 8-4. They swept the Avalanche. So that's 12-4 in the playoffs. And then they lose 4-2. So in the end, 14-8 on 7-0-1. That's 21-9-1 when all is said and done. Great run to within 2 games of the title, man. Anyway, John Tortorella gone from the Vegas Golden Knights. Kelly was rudely interrupted by the commercial when we were talking about U.S. Open this week in Shinnecock Hills. Would you like to continue?
Yeah, let's keep rolling, okay, man. Let's go through it. Again, weather, most important thing this week. I think we always say this with long shots, but you know, we got to do content, we got to do shows, we got to make bets at some point. This is one of those tournaments, folks. I would be betting right before they tee off. Or guess what? You can live bet these golf tournaments too. You don't even have to get in.
In other words, Cookie better. He's taking a look at it. He's not betting it yet.
Hey, I got some names circled. How about that? I'm sure that if you're watching at home, you will see right now it is expected to be extremely windy there Thursday throughout the day. I mean, right now we were kind of pressing, I think, Sia about like which wave. I don't think there is an advantage later early here. Right now, it looks like it is ugly all day. This keeps moving though, so keep checking in on this. A lot of the guys that I have my early eyes on are in the morning, which I would have said yesterday I preferred, but this keeps moving earlier and earlier. So I'm going to keep checking in on this. Haven't bet anything yet. I mean, this is 45 mile an hour gusts, Gil, on a course like this. There is a possibility this could make one of these ends early or late, like, unplayable.
I cannot wait.
I mean, this is already a golf course for you, Gil Alexander. Only two of the five U.S. Open champions, the winners at Shinnecock, have finished under par. Like, these are, we are mm-hmm. used to seeing over par scores here, and it is, you wind always comes into play at this course for where it's located, but like 45 mile an hour gust, man, that it could be brutal. So keep your eye on that. I think there are absolutely different conversations we could have about this tournament this week, and how to bet golf might be very different from how you bet golf on a week to week basis here. But past winners, U.S. Open, J.J. Spahn, remember, won it last year. He was 150-1. We are missing a zero on that if we were watching at home.
150.
Yeah, Bryson DeChambeau year before that. Wyndham Clark, 2023. Matt Fitzpatrick, 2022. John Rahm, 2021. Bryson, 2020 again. Look, at U.S. Open, toughest golf courses usually that we see all season long. That is going to be the case here. With Shinnecock, usually get some very, very good players. I think it is very tough to look too far down the odds board here this week, Gil. I think we're going to get a class player that ends up winning this week. Now, I think the only yeah but with that statement is if Thursday becomes just a rain out, weather wipes out half the field. Right. Yeah. Then you might have, like, I got this question earlier on Twitter. I think it's a great question of weather comes into play. Does that help or hurt, like, the longer shots, right? I think if the weather's hitting, I think it helps the longer shots stay with these guys. But the problem is, once it clears up, if there are less big guns in the field, they got less resistance in their way. So something to keep in mind. Off the tee here, they're going to be wide open fairways. You're going to hear this often, that you want to hit into one section of the fairway. Danny, I think we've got that picture that I grabbed from Friday at Golf, if you've got that. This is a good example they did in their article of kind of breaking down what you're going to see with these fairways. And this is the 18th fairway, and you can see how this kind of doglegs around to the left, Gil. If you hit it right in the center there, fine, it's going to trickle out, it's going to roll out. These should be dried out fairways, dried out greens with the location, the sand base that these have. These are going to roll out pretty far. So you're seeing that one down the middle. Okay, it's got some movement to the left, and then it's rolling out down the fairway. Now, you go about 10 yards to the left of that, you're in a sand trap in the fairway. You go about 10 yards to the right of that, it's leaking all the way off that hill. I don't know if you can kind of tell that at home, but there's a hill that slopes off on the side of this fairway down to the right. So you're going to hear wide fairways and 48 yards. It plays a lot narrower than that. So accuracy off the tee, going to be important this week.
How many people looked at that big picture on the right and were like, they're teeing off from all the way west? What's going on there? It's very odd graphic. Yeah.
It's the overhead, and then yes, and then the other side of it there. Off the tee, this is what you're going to be set up with. This is going to be a heavy, heavy approach course. You are going into big greens. The greens, sort of similar to the fairways. We hear this often. We talk about this with Augusta. Certain parts of the greens you want to hit in. They might look like big greens. You might hit the parts of the greens where it's rolling off the green. You're never getting up and down from in two putts. So, all things to keep in mind, three putt rates, lag putting, I think, is important this week. All of that, I weighed pretty heavily. Okay, shut up, Kelly. What are you betting? We get it. Scottie Scheffler, this is very much, I think I'm going to be back on Scheffler, Gil.
Question, Ryan Fedor. Wouldn't it behoove us to just wait till the end of round one if you want to bet Scottie this week? Hasn't been hot in any round one that I recall.
I think the round one stuff's small just, sample just size this year. Okay. I think the reason you could use that strategy, you could get burnt by this. So we talked a little bit about this on Long Shots yesterday. You got two episodes out this week. It's, would you rather have Scotty 6-1, which you can get him right now, and I'm eyeing. Would you rather have that and hope he makes it through a bad Thursday, or would you rather watch him get through, be near the top of the leaderboard, and bet a worse number?
And the train will have left the station by that point.
You'll be betting a shorter number.
So there is that. More on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland.
Yo!
Prop points with Nick Whalen and Jeff Erickson at the top of the hour, followed by, we don't know if it's JVT. JVT's on vacation, right?
He's not here yesterday.
Stormy And we will see who else.
Stormy and some guy will be here, okay?
And some dude.
Yeah.
With money moves after that. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Chris Heath. I'm not really sure I understand this tweet as anything other than a flex from Chris. But he says, Chris, crazy that the winner of the last major would be a sleeper. But Aaron Rye at 110-1? I'll take it. They just wanted to wedge in that he had Aaron Rye.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like to me, too, yeah.
Patrick Kelly.
I don't think there was anything helpful there.
At PK Mountain Steeler Den, he says, based on the fairway analysis graphic, I am definitely coming to you guys whenever the Ocho's Rock Skipping Championship is.
There you go. Or go to Fried Egg.
What did you want to say about Senegal now and the trophy?
Oh, gosh. You hear this story?
Uh-uh.
I'm not going to get this all right. Okay. Oh. So if you are very worried
about the
details of this story, go look it up online. So
I'm not going to get this right.
Senegal and Morocco played in the AFCON Cup Championship game.
Yes.
I think Paul or Chris brought this up, but I don't know if they got in the full story.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. Now I thought something recently.
No. Yeah. This is like from a couple months ago.
Yeah.
But like, did you catch the detail of Senegal like winning and they were supposed to give back the trophy? This is where I'm like, I might not get things right because I can't remember which one was supposed to give back the trophy. And they literally took it into the nation's biggest armory and locked it up. They're like, come get it.
Wasn't Morocco the side that was doing all the shenanigans?
That's where I said I might not get it right. I don't know. The point is that the trophy got locked up in an armory.
Ladies and gentlemen, just give us the Pulitzer for this segment. Just give it to us.
Yeah, I led with it. I led with it.
It's over. All right, I am going to continue with the draws today. I am going to start with France and Senegal at +361. There's nothing to this. There's no analysis except for... This is international soccer. They're playing toit. And because of the new format, right, 48 teams, 32 get through, the better teams are not exactly going all out in game ones. And so that has led to 8 draws in 16 games. I've been on 5 of them. This has been unbelievable. So France-Senegal, I'm not going to do the Iraq game afterwards. But if we hit France-Senegal, you're darn right I'm going to be doing the 2 tonight. Tennis, by the way, Cubs to win June also... but they're 4 wins back, and this was the time of the month that they were supposed to crush the opponents. At best, they'll be 8-7 through 15. Right now, they're 6-7. They were supposed to, by my projection, they were supposed to be about 11-4, 12-3, so not happening. Tennis today lost on McCartney-Kessler. I like how they only have the red X on the McCartney-Kessler loss. We won on Dion Paris at the top, so down juice. And now with the 2 men's matches, we are up a set in the Rinky Hijikata match. I said wrong person favored there. So far, so good. But we are down a set in the Arthur Rinderknecht match because he lost the first set tiebreaker. So this is trending towards a 2-2 with a loss of juice. Not fun. But, you know, not the end of the world either. Again, most of these will not be available on the show because they're playing in England, but some will inevitably here, England and Germany in Europe, basically. But some will as we finish out the European swing on grass before heading back to the hard courts. You, sir, you have a play. What do you
That's right. First, the first World Cup bet I made like 2 weeks ago, it feels like at this point. Norway laying a goal and a half -164 against Iraq today. And then we'll get to it more tomorrow. I'll go through all my bets for the U.S. Open tomorrow. The pool that I'm looking at, though, it is very much, I am very much considering Scottie Scheffler out right here. I think timing of when I'm going to bet that is very much in question. I'm going to keep watching this weather. There is a chance that I don't get involved in the outright market until this event gets going. Very concerned about that wind. Other golfers, though, that I am going to be involved with, J.J. Spahn. Talked about that earlier with Jake. J.J. Spahn, Kurt Kitayama, Siwoo Kim I will be on this week. Patrick Cantlay, Alex Smalley. I think I'm going to have some types of bets on all of those guys.
Okay.
Wait and watch and weather, though.
And your NBA draft bets remain.
NBA draft bets remain. Aaron Peterson, first overall pick, +350. And Cameron Boozer, third overall pick, -125.
Okay. Again, interesting... forget who it was earlier, but pointed out there 1, 2, 3, 4 is available at DraftKings in order. DeBansa, Peterson, Boozer, Wilson, 1, 2, 3, 4, but it's only what was it, minus 105 or plus 105? I can't remember. Minus 105, I think it was.
Yeah, I was watching this.
Not as nice as I thought it would be.
There was some Peterson steam that came in yesterday, has kind of swung back out at DraftKings, though. He's back out to 3-1 there for the first overall pick. Shout out to DraftKings. They've got draft positions up on a few guys.
There you go.
And everything, yeah, top five, top picks 6 through 10, top 10 in exact order. Yep.
Sian Azhad also sort of treading lightly, trying to figure out the weather at the U.S. Open in Shinnecock Hills, which begins 2 days from now. But he did fire on Matt Fitzpatrick to win at 22-1 and Tommy Fleetwood to win at 25-1 for the United States Open, the third golf major of the year. Drew Dinsick was on earlier. He only had one more grass court play on the day, and that was a big favorite, Jiří Lehečka. This has not started yet. He is laying the wood, $2 favorite over Kamil Majcek. Jiří Lehečka, that's J-I-R-I Lehečka, L-E-H-E-C-K-A, minus 200 versus Kamil Majcek. Mark Borchardt with a slew of baseball plays for us today. Phillies on the run line, -1.5. Runs plus 126 versus the Marlins in the battle for June supremacy. Cubs -1.5, plus 114 at Wrigley versus the Rockies. And then he is parlaying the Phillies and Cubs, but not the run lines. He's parlaying the money lines to pay out plus 140. Also on the Reds, Mets over 9.5 runs, and the Angels Diamondbacks over 8.5 runs today. Five pack from Mark Borchardt. He's like, Greg Peterson gets to do five? Watch this. Five from Borchardt.
Yeah, I really came out of nowhere.
Paul Carr today, France, Senegal, under 2.5 goals. That's how he's playing it. The first of the four soccer matches in the World Cup today, which begin at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Staggered start. Wednesday, tomorrow, Colombia, -1.5 goals versus Uzbekistan. And then Thursday, he's on the Canada-Qatar under 2.5 goals at plus 110. So a three-pack from Paul Carr, who, again, got big shouts out when I was watching First Things First with Kevin Wilds, Chris Broussard, Nick Wright. Got to get Nick Wright on this show, by the way. Has he ever been on VSiN's there, Nick Wright?
I don't know.
Let's get him.
Good question.
Today's World Cup schedule, by the way, France and Senegal, followed by Norway and Iraq, Argentina and Algeria, Austria and Jordan. Again, I got the draw in the first at plus 361. If that works out, going to skip the second one and head to the final two. Going to draw them until they beat me. So I'm playing. Anything else on golf before we go?
Just waiting and watching weather, man.
That's the thing, huh?
I don't, yeah, it kind of sucks. I think it's interesting from if you're looking at outright. So if we go top of the odds board here, like I do think if you eliminated 45 mile an hour wind, like, yeah, I think this is going to be a course that plays very tough. We've seen it before. I think it's probably going to be one of the bigger shots that wins this. And like we talk about this often with betting Scheffler. These are the type of events that I like to bet Scotty Scheffler. Some of the birdie fest when he's 4-1, 5-1, Gil. We often talk about it where he can separate himself more from the pack is at the tougher courses. And Shinnecock Hills is about as tough as it gets. So I'm very much looking at him. We saw his number hit 6-1. It's kind of come back in most places, but you could still get. I got 575 right behind us yesterday. There's plus 550s out there. Or saw plus 575 behind us yesterday. Seeing 550 at FanDuel right now. I think it's interesting. Okay. And shop around because we are seeing plus 455 at DraftKings. So big time difference.
But as we've talked about in past weeks, if he does not win this, the streak of non-wins will continue from January. I believe it was the American Express in January.
Yep.
Till now. That whisper becomes louder if he does not win this tournament.
Maybe. I don't think it. We'd have to see how the tournament plays out.
Listen, he's still cashing big checks every week. I'm not saying I'm not saying he's not the best golfer in the world, but this is kind of for Scheffler a longish drought of not winning. We'll see what happens this week.
Yeah, I think. As Matt Brown said, there's a lot of people that would pay to sign up for this kind of drought. That's for sure.
That's what I said.
But you're not winning. You're not cashing outright tickets.
I said it's very nice. You make $800,000 to $1 million every week.
Yeah.
Placing.
I think it's interesting, though. There's some of the buzz names. Like Rory, I actually think this could be a really good Rory week, too. Rory and Rahm, I think, absolutely deserve to be 2 and 3 on that board. Xander, Xander, Tommy, I think there's some interest there. I'm actually, this is the first event you've heard me bet Fitzpatrick a lot this year.
Yeah.
First event, I really came in with no interest in Fitzpatrick.
You know what that means.
Got more intrigued by him. I know C is on him. I think Fitz is a good one.
So you're going to be on him or not?
I probably not. Not if I go Scheffler. Not if I go Scheffler solo.
Oh, boy. You know what that means. Could be a Fitzpatrick weekend. Prop Points is next with Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson, followed by Money Moves with Stormy and co-host to be named. We'll find out together. And then follow the money with Mitch and Paul. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.